Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
After Wednesday, obviously learning to play linebacker. After practice, you know, Coach Q came to me and was like, man, we're going to need you to step up big for us this week. And instantly I just said, all right, coach, like, let's play. You know what I mean? Yeah, I ain't going to deny opportunity to get on the field. So I knew my most snaps could come from me rushing the passer today. And I just took it head on from Thursday to today, prepared to be able to play at a high level.
It's Micah Parsons, linebacker, Dallas Cowboys, former Penn State Nittany Lion. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. I don't know if they want to give him Defensive Rookie of the Year right now, but I would understand. Maybe someone like Patrick Surtain or something will come out with like five interceptions.
Won't matter.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Micah Parsons, linebacker, Cowboys, he's going to lock that one up.
Well, I mean, and you and I talked about it. I was throwing the NFL.com voting on who was going to win the awards, and Micah Parsons overwhelming for Defensive Rookie of the Year because really good middle linebacker. Middle linebackers get a lot of tackles, or interior linebacker, depending on what they're playing. But, you know, he was great in week one as a middle linebacker. I mean, Tampa put up a lot of stuff and he got burned a little bit, but yeah. He was pretty good. Practice for week two in Dallas and DeMarcus Lawrence gets hurt. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Randy Gregory gets COVID. So he's out. Yep. And they're looking around and like, oh, God, we need somebody to play defensive end. Hey, Micah, hey, buddy.
Yeah, you're an insane athlete. Want to play D-end.
Hadn't played defensive end since high school. And so I'm reading about it after the fact. I'm like, oh, okay, it must have been a defensive end, at least in college. No. Moved him to defensive end. He was everywhere as a pass rusher. 8 quarterback pressures. 4 hurries, a huge sack for a loss of 18. That was on a second and goal play from the 7. He was the second rated edge rusher by Pro Football Focus on the week. It's a middle linebacker. And then just, you know, different people did breakdowns. Brian Baldinger did a breakdown on him, showing him like using his hands to chop and get himself free like a veteran, showing inside moves, speed around the edge, like efficient closing angles at a high level. What the hell, man? How is a middle linebacker who hasn't played D-end since high school able to step in and be an edge rusher at that level? He also had a tackle for loss. Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott talking about him with awe. You know, it's an amazing performance in week two of a dude's NFL career.
Yeah, he's just crazy. Like, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys that he's...
Some guys are just football players.
He's 6'3", 245 pounds, chiseled from iron. You know what I mean? Like, the measurables off the charts. He's he's awesome. Like, that's... I know it's like a simplification of it, but he is just an awesome, awesome football player. Great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, he can do anything. Like, what he ends up being for... Like, what people talk about Derwin James, where it's like, well, he's a safety, but he could play corner, and he might play some linebacker. Like, so, like, second and third level of defense.
We've seen a lot of those kind of guys, right?
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of secondary guys who could actually play some linebacker, and they sort of become a hybrid and get used creatively.
Well, and so it's just starting to happen more on the defensive side of the ball, where positionless defender is, you don't want to know. Like, Brady got mocked for saying, you know, the defensive guys are going to have an advantage with their single digits because you won't know who's coming. That's what these defensive coordinators want. They want guys like Derwin James, like Isaiah Simmons, who the Cardinals drafted from Clemson. Like, is he a safety? Or is he a linebacker? Or is he a D-end? Like, that was the talk of him. They took him, I don't remember, 9th, 11th, something like that.
Sure.
In the draft. And then that's what... So I think that that is what's going to happen here.
If guys can do it.
If guys are good enough athletes to cover and run sideline to sideline and be strong enough to take on offensive linemen in pass rush, like, they're just... You're going to have these superstar freak athletes that just do everything on defense. Positionless football.
But to have the skill set and the thought process for like the hand chops and the multiple pass rush moves is just insane to me.
Chisels more granite than iron, texters are pointing out.
Yeah, chisels don't do a lot for iron.
You don't chisel iron?
Yeah, no, you can't chip away at iron.
That's tough to do.
Iron's a little strong, dude.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tough one for you.
It's a tough one.
But granite is what I meant.
Yeah, I got you.
You can chisel away at granite.
Yeah, sure.
It's a rock. It's sedentary.
Michelangelo tried to work with iron, couldn't do a lot with it.
So just... Imagine I had said...
Michelangelo, the one who painted the guy with the tiny penis?
That's him. Nice. That's him.
Imagine I said Micah
Parsons... That's you, right? That's the painting. That's you.
Chiseled from granite.
Reminder, see me dump him.
Got him. Dump him.
That's you, that's you in the painting.
Not
that's
me. Yeah. It's average.
Plus,
man.
It's a sculpture. Okay?
Yeah.
It's a sculpture.
Jesus
Dave.
Christ,
it's Dave, man. We're talking about. Dave. It's Dave Wanstead. It's a sculpture of Dave Wanstead. Pretty sure that's what it was.
What?
What's
now you're happening? Accusing Dave Wanstead of having a small penis?
Hey, you did. I didn't. I'm just furthering the bit. This is the yes and show, Shane. Okay?
I think he accused him after accusing you.
I might
have. Yeah, it was a double accusation.
Yeah, it's a stretch.
Yeah.
So, man, I can't wait to talk to Dave tomorrow.
Give your guy McCarthy a touch of credit here, because the conversation...
No, I don't want to do that.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to, because you know when it happened before?
I don't want to do that.
Come on, man.
Okay, what'd he do?
It's Clay Matthews in Green Bay. Clay Matthews, middle linebacker, ends up being used by Dom Capers as an edge rusher by necessity. I mean, that's part of the inspiration for this. Like, well, could Micah do it? Huh? Okay, I did it with Clay in Green Bay. That's part of how it went down. So you got to give him a touch of credit. I'm sorry. I know you hate to do that. But here's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of Magic Johnson in the NBA Finals in his rookie season when Kareem got hurt. You know this stuff? This is one of my favorite athletic performances of all time.
Sure, the 42.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Rookie Magic Johnson does all the jump balls in game 6 of the NBA Finals. Kareem can't play, so he's like, I'll play center. He ended up playing all 5 positions. He had 42 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists. And they finish off the 76ers for the NBA title.
So we have Micah Parsons as Magic Johnson.
We have, every once in a while, there's a guy, even if he's a rookie, you need something done, don't be afraid to ask him because he's that special. You know, Micah Parsons is capable of this kind of specialness at the same age as Magic Johnson was.
Justin Fields at nickel corner?
Why not?
Play him two ways?
Yeah.
Two-way player?
I felt so good about my Magic Johnson.
I don't hate it. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. The Cowboys... That's a weird team, man.
Yeah.
Their offensive talent's incredible. Their coach is a complete bonehead. They don't have a lot defensively, but their division's so bad they might end up winning 11 games. But
the point is...
You get to watch Micah Parsons on Monday Night Football this week.
On Monday Night Football this week, and I'm looking forward to it because that guy is forged from granite. Couldn't even get it out.
Iron.
It's forged from granite.
How big's his penis, Speaks?
I don't know, Shane. Depends if Michelangelo painted it or not. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Shane's really hurt.
Yeah.
I'm not hurt. I'm just kind of thrown off.
I called him out.
He is the only single guy on the show, though. We should not be slandering his reputation out there.
I'm fine.
Now we know why.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Well.
I'm fine.
Just keep saying it.
I'm fine.
You'll talk yourself into believing it.
I'm fine.
If you repeat it enough.
I'm fine.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
I'm fine.
It's not your fault, Shane.
That's ridiculous. We have audio of the comp that's been used the most commonly around these parts for quarterback discussion.
Yes.
The person who's actually involved in the comp finally weighed in next on the score.
For me, he's probably, I mean, almost identical to the preparation of how Alex Smith was. And everyone always, we always say, yeah, you talk about Kansas City, you talk about Alex Smith, but those are my experiences in Kansas City was with him as a starter. They're very similar, not just in the prep part, but in the personality and how they lead in practice and on the field. We'll see how Andy is on game day. I know how Alex was, but they're very similar in that regards, and just very calm, you know, but yet competitive.
That, of course, Matt Nagy on Alex Smith. Alex Smith is getting more into the media game these days.
Yes, he is.
Doing some work for ESPN. Which podcast was this on, Tanny? I apologize.
Slow News Day.
It's
on Slow News Day.
With Kevin Clark.
Wait, Don't Tell Me, I think.
Yeah. Sound Opinions, the world's only rock and roll talk show, I believe it was. One of those two.
Peter Sagal.
Hey, he wrote the Benetti article.
Man, I don't know what's going on either, Danny.
Okay. We're just naming podcasts.
Big public media guys.
Yeah. Big podcast listeners. Yeah. It's on daddy issues.
Hey,
with
sorry,
Joe Buck.
Sorry it wasn't sports. Sorry about that.
What did you say, Danny? InfoWars? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
The frogs are gay. Somebody's making the frogs gay.
Your Alex Jones is not bad.
Not bad. It's a little close to Pat Mahomes, but just, I mean,
I thought it was a little
I don't
close
know
to
what Pat thinks about
I thought
that.
It was a little close to Molly.
Yeah, what does Pat think about that?
I don't know. I'm at the shoe store.
Sorry to bother you, Pat.
I'm working at a shoe store now.
Working at a shoe store. Pat Mahomes.
Working at a shoe store.
Big football guy here. Big football guy. Yeah, I haven't seen the commercial yet.
He really follows my career just like I thought he did. I work at a shoe store now. Guy comes up to me and says, hey, you guys still have these? I said, I think so. I have them, though. I'm buying them.
It's a great commercial. It really is.
Yeah, I think it's State Farm.
Okay, yeah, you think. All right, awesome. I feel like I was there.
Slow News Day with Kevin Clark. There's a little music underneath. There's a little editing that's going on. The editing is his or theirs, not ours. But, yeah, Alex Smith sitting around talking with Kevin Clark. Some good stuff.
Let's hear it.
There's a lot of examples right now around the league of different models of what we're doing with rookie quarterbacks, you know, yeah. Sit, play. And there's a lot of variables that go on around it, you know, including kind of the environment you're in, the pieces around you, I should say. And so I do think you have to be careful, I think, putting some of these young QBs that you've put a ton of stock in, a ton of draft capital, putting them out there in really, really difficult situations where they're going to build up some scar tissue and it's tough to get over them. Certainly every young player makes their mistakes and has to be able to deal with those. But you dig yourself too big a hole. It can take years to get to climb out. I really feel like I lived that. It took me years to kind of, I think, get out of what was my rookie year. You know, the plan was to sit for me early on, and that changed quickly. And in hindsight, certainly I was a guy that, as a young pick, I came out early. I think I really could have used some of that time.
He definitely could have. Alex Smith, man, there's so many guys like this. But like the alternate universe, right? Situation matters so much. Player development matters so much, right? We in this town will think forever about what if the Bears, instead of drafting Mitch Trubisky, would have drafted Pat Mahomes, right? We know now that Ryan Pace, it went 1, Mitch Trubisky, 2, Pat Mahomes, 3, Deshaun Watson. Pat Mahomes goes down as the greatest to ever do it. We'll always wonder. But then the secondary part of that hypothetical is, what is Pat Mahomes if he is drafted on a John Fox team with Dowell Loggins throwing to Marcus Wheaton and Josh Bellamy, and then he gets Matt Nagy and he comes up and he's better than Mitch Trubisky, but are we talking about Pat Mahomes in all-time reverential terms by year 2 or 3 if he comes up in the Bears ecosystem? My guess on that is no.
Yeah, and Alex Smith is a really interesting guy to talk about because he obviously lives that reality that you're talking about. And then there he is talking about what it was like for him as a young quarterback in San Francisco, where he goes 19-31. That's his quarterback record over the course of his first 5 seasons, but he also misses an entire season there in the middle with the shoulder. So it's a terrible situation on a bunch of terrible teams. And Kevin Clark asked him about a really bad game in that rookie year that he still says he has trouble getting out of his head. Like, it's still there in his head. And he says it definitely left scars, definitely damaged him, which is interesting. It's an opposite in terms of, it actually goes more with what Boomer has been talking about in terms of the damage that these young quarterbacks can take.
And I know how this will sound, because Alex Smith is talking about his experiences, and he is really smart. So for me to say, I actually don't think that was the biggest issue, is ridiculous. I know that on the front end, but he has talked about it before. He has crushed the 49ers organization publicly for, he also had 3 head coaches and 7 offensive coordinators in that time. Think about that.
Yeah.
7 offensive coordinators. So that is new playbook, new terminology, new person in your headset, new checks, new audibles, new everything, all those different times. So he never was able to master a system. He never had continuity. So did he play sooner than he was ready as a guy who also left college early? Man. Coming from Utah, perfectly reasonable, and I'm sure it contributed to it.
God, but that team, those quarterback starts that they got that year, his rookie year, the game that they were talking about where he throws the 4 picks against the Colts, Alex Smith started 7 games, Ken Dorsey started 3 games, Cody Pickett started 2 games, Tim Rattay started 4 games for that god-awful Niners team.
Terrible.
So Smith, he played, he didn't play, he played, he didn't play, he was inactive for 3 weeks, then he was active but did not play, and then he starts again. Like, they were and then messing when
he's out,
with him.
And then when he's out for a year, he's learning a new playbook that he does, by the time he's back to coming and playing again,
he doesn't have to even use.
So that is how a situation submarines a talent. And it also, man, Alex Smith is good. Like, obviously, he's not Aaron Rodgers, right? But Alex Smith,
put him in a good system from the get-go, and he has a very solid NFL career.
Probably a I would say a good to borderline great career, honestly. Like, his last year, he is a tale of, he made a bunch of money, and obviously the injury will now probably be the number one thing that people think about him. But we talk about it. Once he teamed up with Andy Reid in Kansas City, all he did was win double-digit games and go to the playoffs every year, and his numbers got better each and every season he was with him. Like, in a scenario where the Chiefs decide to keep building around Alex Smith, there's no reason to think he's not improving in 2018 on his 2017 season.
He ended up with 6 seasons of 3,000 yards or more, 1 of 4,000 yards or more, 2 years of a quarterback rating over 100, 4 other seasons of a quarterback rating over 90, you know, ended up having a ton
of
success.
Did a really good job of taking care of the ball. Was not a big turnover guy.
Right.
Like, did have some mobility, obviously, earlier in his career.
Single-digit turnover seasons for every one of his last 8 seasons in the NFL.
Yeah, but so that, when we talk about different examples and what can we learn from history about what you can't do to Justin Fields, you can't saddle this guy with 3 offensive coordinators in his first 5 years. You have to have stability.
Yeah, like, if for some reason Fields stays and Nagy doesn't, and I don't think that's going to be the case, but like, if for some reason that is the case, the next coach, usually they go counter and they bring in a defensive guy or something like that. It has to be an offensive guy. It has to be, because you need Fields to have that stability, you know, in the next effort that you make, if it is a post-Nagy.
I think that's right.
Because an offensive coordinator could be good and then just gone, and you're running a different thing all of a sudden again.
And that's like what's going on with the Chargers. Joe Lombardi, he's going to be on every coaching list. You know, they hire Brandon Staley. You know what I think of him. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Young coach. But what's going to happen to Herbert if this system leaves? And what? Maybe they'll just promote from within.
Yeah, they'll promote a quarterback coach
to try to keep it, you know, some continuity there. But to me, that was the thing that derailed Alex Smith's career, was 7 offensive coordinators with 1 team. You never have an ability to master anything when you're there. Thank you to Mark Grody and Carlos Zambrano, who were on the show today. Chelsea Handler had to move from today till tomorrow, so we're looking forward to talking to Chelsea Handler. It was an interesting show.
I had fun.
I had fun, too.
I enjoyed the show. I especially enjoyed
sniping
the part
at each other.
Yeah, the part where Shane really, you know, felt my wrath. It's about time.
That was good.
It's about time.
I had people chiseled from iron. That happened on the show.
Yes. Yes, you did.
4 seconds into the show, Danny came at me for throwing them under the bus.
Yes, he really did.
It really set the tone, I think, for the entire day. I enjoyed it very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell. He runs the Twitch chat and the video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Cubs baseball is coming up next. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins Spiegel. This is The Score.
It's over, man. It's over. It's all gone. It's all over. It's all over, man. All over. Enjoy. All the slack jawing's over. It's over.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.